Acts chapter 27. This is Paul's journey to Rome and the shipwreck. When it was determined that we should sail for Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to a centurion, that's a Roman soldier, called Julius of the Augustan regiment. And embarking in a ship from Adramyttium, which was about to sail to the places on the coast of Asia, we put to sea, Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we landed at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly, and gave him leave to go to his friends and refresh himself. Now you see that in life, that in tiny little things, God just shows his gentleness and his love for us, even when things are going really bad. It can be in all sorts of little ways that God just nudges us and says, look, I really do love you. And by the way, when it keeps saying us, like the next day we landed at Sidon, and putting to sea from there, we sailed under the lee of Cyprus because the winds were contrary to us. And when we had sailed across the sea, etc., the we seems to be Luke and Paul, because Luke wrote the Acts of the Apostles. So Luke was with Paul on this journey. He had at least some Christians with him on that terrible journey. And that's really being a loyal friend, to go all the way to Rome with Paul. I suppose Luke realized the importance of Paul, and so his importance in God's purpose. And so he, as a doctor, tried to travel with Paul to look after him. Now that's really being a loyal friend. So, when we had sailed across the sea, which is off Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship from Alexandria sailing for Italy, and he put us on board. When we'd sailed slowly many days and had come with difficulty off Cnidus, the wind not permitting us to go further, we sailed under the lee of Crete, opposite Salmone, passing it with difficulties, and all the time the wind is against them. It's sort of God really, I think, nudging them all that this is not a good idea to go onwards. We then came to a place called Fair Havens, near the city of Lycia. Since much time had passed, and the voyage was now dangerous, because even the fast was already over, Paul advised them and said to them, "Gentlemen, I perceive that the voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives." But the centurion paid more attention to the master and the owner of the ship than to those things which were spoken by Paul. Now you see how God is open to working with us. That Paul, it seems, had been told that if they went forward, then they were going to lose their lives. Well, actually, nobody's life was lost. And I guess that's because Paul prayed. So God had one plan, but Paul prayed and things changed. It's like with Jonah. When he went to Nineveh, in 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. But it wasn't, because they repented. So this is the wonderful thing about God, that he's so open to us, to our prayers, to our repentance, to working with us. But the centurion chose to believe the owner of the ship rather than the word of God, it seems, through Paul. And because the harbour wasn't very nice to spend the winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenicia, a harbour of Crete opening toward the southwest and northwest, and to spend the winter there. So the majority wanted to do that. And this is what you see very often in the Bible, that the majority are normally wrong. And those who really see God's truth sometimes have to stand with their backs to the world, with everybody saying you're stupid, like Noah did, like Daniel and his friends did. When the south wind blew, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, they pulled up the anchor and sailed along Crete, close inshore. But after a short time, there beat down a terrible wind called Euraculo. When the ship was caught up in it and couldn't face the wind, we gave way to it and were just driven along. Running under the lee of a small island called Clauda, we were able with difficulty to secure the skiff. That's like a little lifeboat that they pulled behind the big boat. And when they'd hoisted it up, they used supports to undergird the ship. That's, they put ropes all the way underneath it somehow to try to keep it together. And fearing that they would be cast upon the Syrtis sandbar, they lowered the sail and so were driven by the wind. The next day, as we were being violently tossed by the storm, they began to throw out the cargo. And the third day, with their own hands, they threw overboard the tackle of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars shone upon us for many days, and no small storm lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was now taken away. And after they had been without food for a long time, Paul stood in the middle of them and said, "Gentlemen, you should have listened to me and not have set sail from Crete and gained this injury and loss. But now I encourage you to be of good courage, for there shall be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this night there stood by me an angel of the God, whose I am and whom I also serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul, you must stand before Caesar, and God has given you the lives of all those who sail with you.'" Now, you often see that in how God works with people, that the people who are associated with his people often get blessed, sort of in passing, as it were. Like, the people who happened to be on that boat were saved from drowning because it was God's purpose to save Paul, and they also had some form of blessing as well. So Paul goes on, "Therefore, gentlemen, be of good courage, for I believe God that it shall be even as it has been spoken to me. But we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night had arrived, as we were driven to and fro in the Sea of Adria, about midnight the sailors sensed that they were drawing near to some land. They sounded, that is, they dropped down a heavy lead weight with a rope on it that was marked so that they could see where the bottom of the ocean was. And they sounded and found 30 metres, and after a little space they sounded again and found 25 metres. And fearing that we should run aground on the rocks, they let go 4 anchors from the stern and wished for daylight. And as the sailors were seeking to abandon the ship and had lowered the skiff, that's the lifeboat, back into the sea, pretending that they wanted to lay out anchors, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, 'Unless these stay in the ship, you cannot be saved.' Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the lifeboat and let it fall off. And while the day was dawning, Paul pleaded with them all to take some food, saying, 'This day is the 14th day that you wait and continue fasting, having eaten nothing. So I beg you to take some food, for this is for your health, for not a hair will perish from the head of any of you.' When he had said this and had taken bread, he gave thanks to God in the presence of all, and he broke it and began to eat. Then they all were encouraged and ate some food themselves. And in all we were 276 persons on the ship. When they'd eaten enough, they lightened the ship by throwing the wheat into the sea. When it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they noticed a bay with a beach, and they took advice whether they could drive the ship upon it. And casting off the anchors, they left them in the sea, at the same time the bands of the rudders, and hoisting up the foresail to the wind, they made for the beach. But striking a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the prow, that's the front of the boat, stuck fast and remained immovable, but the stern, the back of the boat, was being broken up by the violence of the waves. The soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, stopped them from their plan, and commanded that they who could swim should throw themselves overboard and get to land, and then the rest, some on planks and some on other things from the ship. And so it came to pass that they all escaped safely to land."